We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Dende sitting in for Kevin. Nats back in action today after a long All-Star break. I say long because there was nothing to bet on, and I'm a degenerate. Ryan Clary, Locked On Nats, is going to be with us in about 30 minutes. But right now, as we do each and every Monday through Friday on the Kevin Sheehan Show at noon, we welcome on the great Ben Standig to the program. Ben, long time no chat, my friend. Hope you're doing well. Where do you want to start? Is there something you are most passionate about? There's been a lot to discuss. Actually, you know what? I'm going to direct it. How about we start with Von Miller? We'll get to the Terry stuff. Everybody wants to hear about the Terry stuff. What were your thoughts on the Von Miller signing late on Wednesday evening?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all were like, hey, they're going to do some more on the edge, right? And obviously there was the higher target to Trey Hendrickson. But, you know, for me, looking at the landscape, there was a bunch of guys who in the Von Miller sort of category. I mean, he's up, you know, the best of the bunch when it comes to his career as a pass rusher. But, you know, a lot of guys who were out there who can rush a passer, but like kind of over 30, so you don't quite know what you're going to get, and it's going to be limited most likely. But he, you know, of those guys, you know, he certainly makes a lot of sense. He had 6 sacks last year. Sacks is not always the appropriate gauge for how well a player is performing as a pass rusher. But if you look at some of the metrics on Pro Football Focus, he was ranked top 10 in win rate percentage for edge rushers. There's another metric that factors in sacks, QB hits, hurries, and the number of pass rush attempts. And he was also top 10 there. So, you know, again, if we're talking about somebody who at this point is probably coming off the bench, you know, he only played less than 40% of the snaps the last 2 seasons. He's missed some games because of injury, but for a team that, you know, there were certainly some questions about what they had at pass rusher, adding a guy like Von Miller is, you know, an easy way to go and a pretty logical move.
What is a successful year for him here in D.C.?
You know, I don't know what, like, from a number perspective in terms of, like, sacks, but I just think, you know, if you feel his presence out there, he's likely going to be brought in primarily on pass rushing downs. And, you know, like I said, it's not always about taking down the quarterback. It's about disrupting the play, the timing. And, if you know, if we're sitting there going, boy, Von Miller, he has been a presence, and, you know, then I think that works. I think sometimes a player will get a sack and we'll point to that and say, oh, okay, you know, good on that. But then he's not really there. We don't see much the other times. So I just think consistent presence from him. And again, they're not going to have to rely on him, you know, to play a ton. You still have, you know, Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Cleveland Farrell, some others. So, you know, as long as he's able to stay on the field, play, and be a presence, I think to me that would be a pretty good year.
I know Vaughn is not going to be thrust into a starting position, nor should he. I would assume that Dorrance starts on one side of the defensive line. Do you have any ideas to who will be occupying the other side?
I mean, I would assume it's going to be Dietrich Wise. I mean, when you consider, you know, if we're looking at a 1st-and-10 situation where the run is, you know, a likely option, as we know, they weren't very good against the run last year, and Dietrich Wise was brought in for just that reason. So I think, you know, he can also rush the passer. So I think he's more of the, you know, again, maybe not an every down player, but he's more of that multi-down player and an early down guy. So I would think it would be Wise. I mean, you know, Miller didn't start any games last year for the Bills. You know, and my sense is that the Bills moved on from him only because of money, not because of performance. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I think he would be pretty good in that, you know, just coming in off the bench as like the 6th man, so to speak, if we're in the NBA parlance, and be the guy that designated pass rusher would be my guess.
Ben standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. You can find Ben on Twitter at Ben Standing. Find his podcast, Last Man Standing, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. With Trey Amos being signed last night, all of the rookies are signed, correct?
I believe so, yes.
What was the holdup with Trey Amos? Did we ever figure that out?
It's this whole thing with the second round picks and the guaranteed money. I want to say the Raiders gave their early second round pick a fully guaranteed deal, and that led to, you know, agents and, you know, saying, hey, well, if this is this precedent, then, you know, hook us up. So it was just a trickle down effect, and it just took forever. And now, as we've seen over the last 24 hours or so, all the second round picks are coming to terms. So, Amos was one of them. And, you know, he obviously was picked way down, towards the bottom of the second round, which was great for Washington, but also meant, you know, in terms of this aspect, like, you know, he's just going to follow the leader. And once others started to sign, you know, it was just a matter of time for him.
So now that he's signed, Terry is next, right? That was the one holdup. It was the second round pick that they needed to sign before they could start talking with Terry. Is that what it was?
Yeah. something tells me that was that was not necessarily the issue, but yeah, it is now officially all about, I mean, not that it wasn't already, but it's all about Terry McLaurin and signing him, and, you know, whether that's going to happen before these guys get out on the field next week. And, you heard I was there when Terry spoke last week, or the other day, I should say, not last week. Obviously he's got some feelings about this, and not thrilled with the way it's gone so far, the negotiations. You know, deadlines always create deals, is the saying, and there's a lot of truth to that. Well, there's a deadline coming up. I guess it depends if you look at it as training camp versus the start of the season. You want him on the field, though, for camp, so I would think that deadline is rapidly approaching. But, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen here.
What was the overall environment like at Eastern Automotives? Or Eastern Motors, rather.
He was there. Terry was there to film a commercial and got to watch that for a little bit. And he's going through all the steps there and different takes. And he was in a really good mood. And I think he was in a good mood, you know, even afterwards. I talked to him for a couple moments. But yeah, I mean, when it got time to discuss his contract and where he's at with it, you know, he was candid. He was, you know, forceful. He didn't hold back too much. And, obviously it was just reporters there for the most part. It wasn't a team situation. So he could say whatever he wanted. His agent was there and just let him kind of keep going. So, Terry, you know, even if we're just talking about a week seven conversation about, whoever the Commanders are going to play that week, he talks at great length and talks, gives long, expansive answers, thoughtful answers. So on a topic like this, where it's about him, truly, it's not just about the team, it's about his situation and how he feels he's being treated. He had a lot to say. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a lot of tension per se, but he clearly had some things he wanted to get off his chest.
Are you surprised that press conference was as long as it was? It felt like it went on forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the original notice saying, hey, he's going to be at Eastern Motors and we'll be available to talk afterwards, it was like 5 to 10 minutes, I said, which, you know, seems reasonable. You know, that's a normal thing. And I think for most of us, that probably would have been fine. But, he just kept going. Like I said, he typically gives some fairly lengthy answers. His answers are not great for the short attention span world that we're all in. Obviously he and his agent felt it was going well, and that's why they kind of kept going. I imagine, you know, I think there were a lot of different topics to get into. I asked him, you know, about the age, you know, that he's going to be 30 this year, and there's some notion that, you know, that could be a sticking point. And, you know, I think that was one of the things he elaborated it on in a way that wasn't just sort of talking points. He spoke about it, you know, with some conviction, like people are acting like he's walking around with a cane or a walker or something. 30 is hardly old, and he doesn't have nearly as much wear and tear compared to other guys, because he didn't play he wasn't a full-time player at Ohio State until the end of his career, and it's only been seven leagues. He hasn't seven years going in here. He hasn't missed really any games since 2020, so he's been fine. So what, you know, what are we talking about with age and all that? And I think that was one of the points he wanted to emphasize, because I imagine that is something that the team has brought up, because if you're comparing him to DK Metcalf or T. Higgins, two guys that signed deals this offseason, you know, they're both 2 and 5 years younger than him respectively, and that doesn't have anything to do with what's going to happen next season or necessarily the season after that, but, you know, it is something that the team can use, and it appears at the moment that that is one of the hang-ups, and, you know, that's not going to change. He's going to be 30 in September no matter what, but, you know, hopefully the two sides can figure out a way to mend that fence.
Our poll question today is whether or not he will sign prior to training camp. Do you think a deal gets done before he takes the field or before he is scheduled to take the field?
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm going to be optimistic and say yes. Look, I guess the thing is, like, Adam Peters, when he was with San Francisco, the 49ers were willing to have some of these situations go, you know, deep into training camp and, you know, the preseason. So, if Peters goes based off of his past, what he has seen, then it is possible this lingers and lingers. On the other hand, you know, you just look at the situation. It's not like saying just pay the guy because, you know, you have to get him on the field. But obviously having Terry on the field is going to be vitally important to this offense. It's still, you know, in this recalibration under this new regime, it's still trying to, you know, beef up its talent. And while they added Deebo Samuel, you know, he's not like a traditional receiver by any stretch. The running back room, you know, there's quality players there, but they don't have any real, you know, dynamic threats. Zach Ertz was very good last year. Is that going to repeat? Is he going to be able to stay healthy? You know, we'll see. Terry isn't just the best receiver on the team. You know, he is the clear top playmaker. And, you know, with Jaden Daniels, you want to build on that. That, you know, they drafted an offensive tackle in the first round and traded for an offensive tackle because they wanted to help Jaden Daniels. So getting Terry on the field would seemingly be in that kind of thinking. And also, even if you're thinking, hey, Jaden Daniels is going to get paid here down the line, sure, but by the time that it happens, if you give Terry a 3-year deal, then it's kind of be over by the time you have to make that call on what you're going to give Jaden. So I would think something gets done, but, you know, clearly, I think what's so interesting is we get to finally see now, or not finally, it's only the second year, but we get to see how Adam Peters and this organization are going to handle these situations. Everything last year was a pretty, you know, kumbaya, let's hug it out, everything is great scenario, and not saying it isn't, but now business has shown up, and, you know, we're going to get to see how this plays out.
Ben Standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Did we ever get an update on Noah Brown after he left minicamp with what was described as a tough injury?
No, nothing definitive or official or anything along those lines. But, you know, whatever happened there, it doesn't seem like it was a significant, you know, wasn't a major injury, because otherwise I think we would have heard by now he's going to have surgery or be out or what have you. You know, I don't know if this means he will or won't be on the field come day one of camp. Obviously, we'll find out here soon enough. But no, I don't have a strong vibe on that. But, you know, look, unless I'm forgetting something here, it's not like they went out and started signing receivers, right? I mean, they have some other options. But, you know, if it was a real concern, I think they'd probably go out and see what else is out there on the market.
Who do you think come week one starts opposite of Marshawn Lattimore outside?
I'll go Trey Amos. I mean, obviously Jonathan Jones, who they signed in free agency, you know, he's been there, done that vet. You know, he was with New England on a couple of Super Bowl teams. You know, He can play inside and outside. But, you know, if Trey Amos is ready to go, you know, he's much more of the prototype cornerback. He looked good in, you know, in the offseason program. He's got the size, the speed, the confidence. So I would think he would be that guy with Sanders still then moving to the slot. I guess that is the other consideration is could you just leave Sanders still on the outside and either have Noah Igbinoghene or Jones go in the slot? Sure, but I think ultimately Sanders still is going to be a slot, and, you know, Amos is the guy on the outside. So that would be my guess. You know, again, as he looked fine in the offseason program, as I said. We'll see what happens here in training camp and preseason. Obviously, he's going to be going up against Jaden Daniels quite a bit. And, you know, that could lead to some tough moments, but it's also the opportunity to show what he can do. And I think he's shown, from what we've seen already, that, you know, he's not afraid of the moment. And that's, so I think he'll ultimately be the guy opposite Lattimore.
There has been conversation about Jaden taking a step back. You know, people say they look to C.J. Stroud. He took a step back. If you're crazy, you look at Robert in 2012 to 2013 and say, well, big step back there. Obviously, we know there's a lot that went into that. Are you worried about a step back for Jaden Daniels?
I am not. You know, I don't say that blindly or flippantly. I'm aware that, you know, the league now has tape on him, and they now, you know, have a better feel for what Cliff Kingsbury's offense is going to look like. And, you know, you can imagine that, you know, all that Jaden was doing last year, you know, it took some people by surprise to some degree. I mean, it wasn't like he was a nobody. He had just won the Heisman Trophy and was the number two pick. But all that said, you know, it also is Jaden Daniels now comes in with another year of experience. And, you know, if it was just based on the physical component, you know, you might say, hey, there's, you know, sure, it's reasonable to think he could take a step back, but there really just wasn't anything you're going, wow, that was a major problem last year. There's things to work on, but nothing dramatic. Just like every quarterback, no matter who they are, works in the offseason to improve their game or add something to it. And the fact that this guy is just, you know, he's a self-described introvert. He's all about work on football, not about, you know, the scene. And I think with that mentality, the guy who's getting to the building, you know, super duper early in the morning before practice, I just think that's going to be a tough situation for me to believe he's going to have a step back. I mean, similar to the team, could the numbers be worse and he still is better? Yeah, I mean, I think that's conceivable. They have a tougher schedule and, you know, and all that, but I'd be surprised if he has anything that would be resemble a step back this year.
Final thing here. Does Brad actually play his contract out in Los Angeles, the full thing, all 2 years?
I mean, I kind of doubt it. I guess we'll see what happens this year. I think that the Bradley Beal conversation has, you know, this happens so often, and not just with sports, but all kind of conversations that people hammer home a point for so long, they forget what the actual point is. People act like Bradley Beal's a bum of a player. Absolutely not. He's still, his percentages, shooting percentages last year were very good. He can still score a ton of points. He was miscast as a primary ball handler in Phoenix, which is also, he was miscast in the later stages here with Washington. But, you know, ultimately it was just the contract. He was getting paid a lot of money for a guy who's good, but not that good. That's the issue. So I think it's actually a pretty good fit with the Clippers. So if he has a good year, I think therefore logically he opts out and then go, you know, tries to see, you know, what he could do. I would imagine he could get, If he had not just taken, if he didn't have the buyout situation where he's just sort of getting a salary to sort of fill in what he had to give back to the Suns, I suspect he would have gotten some decent money on the market. So yeah, I would guess it's one and done. I also do know though that like he has a place out in L.A. His wife is from L.A. I think staying in L.A. is important. That's why I think he picked the Clippers as much as anything else. So if that's a factor, then maybe he stays. But I would imagine it's on a new deal, even if he does.
He is Ben Standing. You can hear his podcast, Last Man Standing, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Ben, appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend, and we will do this again on Monday.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
That is Ben Standing. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, at Ben Standing. So some really good stuff there. Rookies reported today. Veterans report early next week, and then practice will begin at the end of next week. Our poll question, do you believe that Terry McLaurin will sign before training camp begins? Yes or no? We will take a look at that when we get back. Ryan Clarity, host of the Locked On Nationals podcast, is going to join us in 15 minutes. But when we get back, which former quarterback ranked Jared Goff ahead of Jaden Daniels? You will not believe it. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.